water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. This is a key part to hear right here, because she just got honest with Jesus. There's something powerful about when you get honest with Jesus. It doesn't matter how dark your sin is. It doesn't matter if your life is as messed up as this woman's life is. That moment when she got honest with Jesus, it opened a door to a whole another world. She said, I have no husband. He says, For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem. So now she's talking, for whatever's going on, she takes it to worship. She says, we worship on this mountain, and y'all only worship in Jerusalem, in this place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me. The hour cometh that when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, it says, yea, worship ye now not what? It says, ye know what ye worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He's saying it's not about location, it's about your relationship. And the Father seeketh such who worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place today. Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. Oh God, that your will and your way would be done. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated this morning. Jesus stops and turns and makes his way towards Samaria. For most people, Samaria is not a place that anybody would go, especially for the Jews, that they had a certain opinion about the Samaritans. But Jesus said, I must need go through Samaria. That was his words to the disciples. The disciples didn't want to go to Samaria. They had no desire to be there, but it didn't matter what everybody else's desire is. The only one that matters is what he desires. And it doesn't matter where we want to go. All that matters is where he is going. And so he meets this little lady in Samaria. And he begins to talk to her. He begins to talk to her about living water. And she begins to bring it to worship. She talks about, well, we think that you need to worship on this mountain, and y'all believe that the only place that worship can happen is in Jerusalem, that is y'all's place of worship, that's where y'all are going to go to worship. And Jesus looks at her, and he begins to let her know that you've got to understand that what I'm about to do on this world isn't about location. It's about relationship. It's not about where you are when you do it. It's about how you do it and the life that you live. They had made law greater than relationship. It was all about the law. It was all about how good they looked out in front of everybody else. It was how they looked when they came to church. It was how they looked when they went to the marketplace. It had nothing to do with what was inside of them. This law, this constant coming down on people, this constant examining people and being their judge, had created an atmosphere that was dry and lifeless. It only exalted itself. It created a judgmental atmosphere. They lacked self-awareness and they lacked mercy, for sure. It was all about them and how much better they were than everybody else. You find that all throughout the Spirit, as Jesus is constantly coming against this spirit, as he looks at the Pharisee in Luke 18 and 10, It says, and two men in the temple to pray, and one Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. They are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican is. Look, I'm better than this man over here. And the publican, it says, and I fast twice in a week and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican was standing afar off, and he lifted not so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Jesus said, it's not about your merits. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how you can look down on other people. It's about a lifestyle of worship. It's about being a worshiper. It's about becoming a worshiper. That worship is not just what we do on a Sunday morning, whereas it should be the most important thing when we come in here. A lot of times we say, well, now it's the most important time of the service. It's time for the Word of God. That's the most important time for us, but the most important time when we walk into the house of God is when I stop everything and say, God, you are God alone. You are my Alpha, my Omega, my beginning and my ending. I cannot take one step without you. I cannot live without you. We've got to understand that the sermon is for us, but the worship is for Him, and we were created to worship. And so when we come into this place, we've got to understand that it's not just about worship and just about what's going, but it's a lifestyle, that I live a lifestyle of worship, that what I do on a Sunday morning in this place from 11 to 11:30 is just something that is an extension of who I am and the way that I live when I'm not in this room. Amen. That if this is the only place that I'm a worshiper, then I am failing at being like Christ. This is an extension of the life that I live out there. This is an extension of the life that I'm living out there. You look at the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus comes at it again. You had a priest that came by. You had a Levite that came by. A Levite was somebody that worked in the church. He might have been a department head. He was somebody that was highly involved. These two men walked by and they looked at a man in need, but it wasn't at church or in church, so therefore they just walked right on by. But there was a man that was not in church that stopped and looked and saw the need, and the scripture called him the Good Samaritan. There seems to be a reoccurring appearance here with the Samaritans, and this Good Samaritan went down and he took care of the needs of this man. He washed the wounds of this man. He took him to the hospital, to a hotel, and paid for his bills and made sure that he had medication. And Jesus makes the statement, which one of these was more like me? Which one of these showed mercy on him? And then Jesus looked at them and said, go and do likewise. He didn't say, oh, wait till they get to church and then get interested in them. Wait till you see if they've hung around for a week or two and see how serious they are before you approach them, if you're going to invest time in them. He said, it's a part of your lifestyle. That it doesn't matter if you're there in the church house or on the job or down at the Popeye's Chicken. That it's a part of who you are and what you do. It's Jesus in Matthew 23. You read the entire chapter of Matthew 23. He hates it. He keeps just going back to it and going back to it and going back to it over again. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read the chapter, but we see where we're in Matthew 23 and 27. But woe unto the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. We've we've got to understand that it's not about the outside, it's about the inside. But if I take care of the inside will take care of the outside. But if all I'm worried about is the outside, then I'm going to create a lifeless relationship with him. I'm going to create a judgmental relationship towards other people, because it's not about the me on the outside so that I can be better and have my checklist of what I am and what they're not. It's got to be what's on the inside of me that changes what's on the outside of me. It's got to be the relationship that I'm checking off, and not, oh, where do I measure up here? Am I saying the outside isn't important? No, I think you know me well enough by now. The outside is very important, but it better be stemmed from the relationship on the inside. It better be worship and not a law. It better be something that raises up on the inside that says, I want to be pleasing to my Lord and Savior. I want to be pleasing to my Jesus Christ. You see, the problem is because when we begin to make it just a set of things that we do, it's easy for us to get a bad spirit. Did you know that I can do things the right way with the wrong spirit? And does that make it any better? Am I any better off if I do it the right way with the wrong spirit than just do it wrong altogether? I've seen more people turned off because of people doing it the right way with the wrong spirit. You know, I can discipline my children. I can discipline my children because they need to be disciplined, but I can discipline them with the wrong spirit. And what have I done? If my children are afraid of me, then what have I accomplished? If my children are scared, then what have I accomplished in that situation? I can discipline them with the wrong spirit. I want being transparent here, that this almost been, it's been 13 months ago when Jace fell and smashed his head on the ground, and we went through several weeks of hospital visits and a crazy time, just two to almost 3 weeks of just very uncertainty and doctor visits and everything. And now I have a keen ear to when heads smack hard tile. And every time I hear it, it takes me back to that moment in time. It takes me back when I hear the other night, Gentry's been pulling up on stuff, and he pulls up and he was bumped by, he was trying to get into the toys of one of the other ones, and they bumped him. And man, when I heard that head hit the floor, there's something that takes me, it doesn't matter how light or how loud it is, it takes me right back to that moment. All of those emotions flood back in, and it's like I just come alive, and I'm having, wait a minute, it's not as bad as it seems. I can go back to that place, but if I'm not careful, I can turn in discipline. I can be in the right, but I can be in the wrong spirit. Does that make sense? It can take me to a place of fear. It can take me to a place of anger. It can take me to a place of frustration. And that's just me being transparent. Because of what we went through, it takes me back to that moment. And so now I've got to, ooh, okay, let's bring it back down. I've got to begin to do this in the right spirit. I've got to make sure that when I do this, that I handle it right. And just, you can be right and be in the wrong spirit. Jesus talked to those men that came in, and they were giving money, and Jesus, there was a little lady that came in with nothing, and Jesus said, who gave the most? And they said, oh, that guy over there. No, he didn't. No, not even close. Who gave it? The one that had the least to give, the one that came in with nothing, the one that came and she gave her all. There's something different about it. See, we've got to understand that our spirit will determine our pursuit and our response to truth. That we've got to make sure that our spirit is kept in check, that we have a human spirit inside of us, and that human spirit has to be kept in check. That human spirit is constantly having to be dealt with. That human spirit has to be brought into the presence of God and say, God, you've got to help me. You've got to change me, because you cannot be changed in your human spirit without his spirit. You cannot be delivered. You cannot have victory without his spirit being in your life. Ultimately, our spirit will determine how we live our Christian life and our response to truth. We have to cultivate a right spirit inside of us. What did David say? Create in me a right spirit. Why? Because somewhere along the way, his spirit was evidently wrong. Create in me a right spirit. Create in me a spirit that is right. Don't allow my spirit to overtake and to take care of things. And when I say that, you can handle things wrongly in all aspects of your life if you're not careful. That I've watched people that have used fear to control the people that are around them. I've watched people that are in their 70s and 80s still be able to use fear to be able to control and manipulate the people around them. They try to use different avenues of different things to be able to try to control the situations that are going on in their lives. You're not drawing anybody towards Christ if you're constantly manipulating and controlling the things that are around you. The only thing that's going to draw them to Christ is you being like Christ. It doesn't matter what you say, it's what's in here. It doesn't matter how you live in front of them. It's what's inside of you that's going to draw people to Christ. It's Romans 12 and 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I do this? How do I start trying to create a right spirit inside of me? First, you have to have a prayer life. You cannot have a right spirit and not have a prayer life. Secondly, you've got to understand why you're praying, and you've got to pray right. I've known people that have been praying for years and still have the wrong spirit about it. We've got to understand that the reason that we go to prayer is first and foremost is to exalt Him and to humble ourselves. Those are the main reasons that you go towards prayer. Prayer is not my time to convince God of what my will is and why my will is better than His will. That's not what prayer's for. And a lot of times that's what we use prayer for. We use prayer for to try to convince God what our will is and why He needs to fix it to around what our will is. Prayer is so that we can exalt Him and humble ourselves. That's what prayer's for. God, I come to exalt you. I come to lift you up. I come to magnify you. God, I need you to forgive me. I've come to humble myself. I've come to cast my cares upon you. I've come to let you know that I am nothing and you are everything. I've come to let you know that I can't take one step without you. A lot of times we get frustrated with prayer because He's not doing what we've told Him to. And that's not exactly what prayer is for. A relationship with God is about exalting Him and humbling ourselves, and Him answering our prayers is just a bonus. Does that make sense? It's a bonus to the relationship that we cultivate with Him. And so we've got to understand that my prayer life is in direct correlation with my spirit and how I handle things and who I am and what I am. Oh, my wife can tell if I've missed a day of prayer. There's been days she's told me, you need to go back to the church. And whatever praying you did, you need to go back and, you know, you did. And I can't even argue. I'm like, you're right. And you look at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, O Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. It's all about Him. It's exalting Him. Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as it is in earth as it is in heaven. The only place you read in the entire Lord's Prayer when He's teaching them how to pray where they say, give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need for today, God. Give me what I need to make it through this moment in time. Give me what I need to walk through this valley. Give me what I need, God, to make it through this. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. Here we are, humbling ourselves again. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here we are getting our spirits right as we forgive those people who have hurt us, who have broken us, who have done things to us, who have stolen from us, as we forgive them. And lead us not into temptation. God, protect us, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We live in such a sensory overload that silence is almost fearful. It gets quiet around the house, man, something's wrong. In my house, it's obviously something's wrong. If it gets quiet, you better go do some research because somebody is destroying something, eating something, swallowing something, burning something, you know. And so, but silence is almost, you know, we live in a society where we're uncomfortable with silence. Turn the TV on just to listen to the news all day long and then wonder why we're depressed. And, you know, just have something going all the time. Screens just constantly being entertained. Something we can't even read a book without background noise. We can't even try to pray without something happening in the background. There's all the distractions that we live with. See, we've got to understand in John 16, it says this, 16 and 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever, he says, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and we will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. So in other words, I have to be sensitive to his Spirit. Why? Because his Spirit is going to guide me, and I cannot be sensitive to his Spirit unless I first have a relationship with him. It's 1 Peter 1 and 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. A pure heart. We're talking about a right spirit, that there is a purity inside of me, that I'm doing my best. There's no agenda. There's nothing that's going on, that I am trying to align myself with him. How is that going to happen? It's going to be by obeying truth through the Spirit, so that I can have a pure heart fervently. Why? Because Romans 8 and 7, because a carnal mind is enmity against God. That this carnal mind that I have, that it is completely against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So when they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's got to be a spirit thing. It's got to be a hunger thing. Is your worship this morning, when we begin to sing at 11 o'clock, is your worship going to be a religious thing, or is it going to be a spiritual thing? Is it going to be something you do because it's just what we do in religion, or is it going to be because there's something inside that says, God, I love you. God, I want to connect to you today. God, I want you to know that you are God alone, and that you are awesome, that you are wonderful, and that you are great. We've got to be transformed into true worshipers, to worship him in spirit and in truth. That we've got to be true worshipers, that when we walk into this place, that we are touching the throne of God. There's something about true worshipers that God cannot resist. You look as Mary Magdalene's making her way to the tomb. Jesus is done. His job is over. He is finished. And he heard the footsteps of a worshiper coming his way. And he shows back up to where Mary is. And Mary even tries to touch him. And Jesus has to say, no, 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 back up. You can't touch me. I've gone too far. You can't mess up what I've done. You can't touch what I am. But he could not resist somebody that comes into the presence of God and says, I want to see you. I'm not here for any ulterior motives. I'm here because I want to be close to you. I'm not here because you can do anything for me. I'm here because I want to do something for you. James 3 and 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, you want to know if your spirit's right? Is there any of this that you feel? Envying and strife. Is there confusion in every evil work? But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without particularly, he says, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. peace. Make peace. If there's going to be peace in my family, it's because I'm going to be a peacemaker. If there is constantly all kinds of craziness going on around you, you need to take a long look in the mirror and say, am I a peacemaker? Am I allowing the fruit to flow through me? Or is this just something religious that I do? Ultimately, truth lived with a pure spirit is represented by a transformed mind. It's the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. My question to you this morning as I wrap this up. In the last week, have you felt fear? Have you felt something just negative? Just that you know what I'm talking about. Just anxiety. Just overwhelmed with anxiety. Overwhelmed with hate, wrath, bitterness, shame. Have you been overwhelmed with the desire to control the situations that are going on around you? You can do it. You can do what's right in the wrong spirit. I've got to keep my spirit right. We've got to keep our spirits right. There's something about a right spirit that God can have patience with. There's somebody that's constantly coming to an altar and saying, God created me a right spirit. That's why God could have so much patience with David, because David was constantly, God created me a right spirit. God, I'm off course. I'm off path. God, there's some things in my life that have gotten off. There's some things in my spirit that shouldn't be in my spirit. There's some things, God, that I'm doing that I shouldn't allow. God, create in me a right spirit. Bring my spirit back to where it's supposed to be. Align me back with you, oh God. Help me to become the person that you so desire for me to be. Create in me a right spirit. This year, if you're going to become what God wants you to be, if you want this year to be different than last year, if you want to stand here on the second Sunday of 2019 and things be changed in your family, in your life, and the loved ones around you, in your marriage, it starts with creating a right spirit inside of you. It starts with you changing you. It starts with you understanding that there are things in me that are not right. There's only one God, and I am not Him. And I've got to take the things that are not right in my spirit and in my life and bring it to an altar and lay it on an altar and let Him change me and work on me and tweak the things in my life that are not right. Create in me a right spirit. Lord God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that Your Spirit would move and flow in this place right now. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that Your will and Your way would be done, that Your Holy Ghost would move and flow in this place. Lord, that You would speak to our hearts and our minds this morning. If there is a wrong spirit inside of us, oh God, Lord, we might be doing things the right way, but in the wrong spirit, God, that our spirits would be right, that our spirits would not be offensive to our family members, that our spirits would not be offensive to the people on our job, that our spirits would not be offensive to the ones that we love, God, but that we live in such a way, oh God, that our spirits are right with You. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. You can handle some bad stuff and fix it if you have the right spirit. You can walk through some messes, but if you've got the right spirit, it can be fixed and it can be worked on. But if I walk into a mess with the wrong spirit and I come in wielding a sword or I come in manipulative, you can rest assured that their spirit's going to pick up on my spirit and it's not going to fix anything. It's not going to fix my family. It's not going to fix my children. It's not going to fix what's going on. No, it's not going to fix anything because it's you and it's not Him. Amen? God, I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Create in me a right spirit. create in me a spirit of worship so that I can be. How am I going to change my spirit? First of all, I've got to change the way I pray. And I've got to, if you don't pray at all, I can guarantee you right now, you don't have a right spirit. I've got to become a prayer so that I can work on my spirit. I need to become a worshiper so that I can work on my spirit. Why? Because my spirit can't be affected unless I can be sensitive to His spirit, because it's His spirit that what? Leads me.